Hey, let's get into this. Okay, today we're going to get into this. If you guys got your Bibles, because I know you do, turn to John 18th chapter. You're going to turn on John 18th chapter. Jesus is getting ready to die. I know, it's a tough one to start on. I know, it's okay, I'm not going to point her out or anything. Jesus is getting ready to die here. Jesus is getting ready to die. It's near the end of this gospel story. And he says something really interesting, something that caught my attention, and I really couldn't help but get stuck here. Now, let me ask you guys this question, because I was sharing this maybe like a week ago or so, and it just kind of stuck inside of me, and I just felt like I had to share it with you guys. Now, you know, I was praying it, and I believe we've even sung it, but you know, what are you here for? I mean, you think about it. What are you here for? I mean, what are you doing here? I mean, that's a question you have to answer. Now, I'm just talking like, what are you doing here in church? Because I think we all know what we're doing in church. And I hope you know what you're doing here in church. You know, but what are you here, like earth, like this life? What are you living for? What's your purpose? What's your design? You know, I mean, what are you going to do with your life? I mean, if nobody's an accident, if that's what the word says, if God says that we're all here with a calling on our life, what's your calling? What are you here for? Why are you, what is your cause? What is it? Because if you live your life not knowing that, then you can find yourself lost one day. You could wake up in a year, in 5 years, 10 years, and you have all these decisions, and you have all these consequences around you. You don't think, how the heck did I get here? How the heck did I end up in this spot? If you don't know what you're doing, you need to stop and find out what you're doing. You know, this question was asked to Jesus. And if you want to know the answer, you got to go to Jesus, right? If you want to know the answer to a difficult question, you go to the Word. And what did Jesus say when this question was asked? He said, when he was asked, what are you all about? What are you doing? In John the 18th chapter, he's asked this question, and it says Pilate, Pontius Pilate was getting ready to crucify him, and he had all this pressure to do different things, and Pilate's trying to get him off the hook. And Pilate, he says this. He says, Pilate in 1837 says, Pilate therefore said to Jesus, he says, are you a king then? And Jesus said, you say rightly that I'm a king. And he says, what's the deal with you? He says, why don't you just quit? He says, Jesus, I'm going to give you the easy way out. Why don't you just take the easy way out? And Jesus says, you say rightly that I'm a king. For this cause I was born. And for this cause I have come into this world, that I would bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. See, Jesus said, look, I am here and I'm not taking the easy way out because I would deny the reason I'm here. I'm not going to shortcut it. I'm not going to back out on it. I'm not going to slow down on it. I'm not going to compromise it. Because if I was to do that, I would shortcut and I would cut off the cause I'm here. And without a cause, I'm nothing. You know, people without a cause do the stupidest things. People without a reason for living find themselves in the worst of situations. But a person who knows where they're going, even if they get lost or turned around, they'll know how to find their way back because they know where they're going in the end. You know, a person that has no idea what their cause is, they don't even know if they're lost or if they're on track because they have no idea where they're going. So the question today is, what's your cause? If it was asked to you today, what are you doing this for? Why are you waking up tomorrow morning? What's the point? Not what are you doing? Not are you going to the mall? Are you going to be watching episodes of Phineas and Ferb? I'm not saying, you know, what's the to-do list? I'm saying, what's the reason? What's the meaning behind it all? And Jesus said, this is the cause. I have the truth. There's something inside of me that has to get out of me. Jesus says that there is a purpose in my life so that people can hear the truth and the voice of who God is. Because if people hear the voice of God, well, then their lives will be changed and improved and rescued and saved. You know, he says, I am here. My cause is so that people hear the truth. And what is the truth? The truth is that God loves you. The truth is that Jesus came and died and rose again. The truth is that life doesn't have to be depressing. The truth is you don't have to hate yourself. The truth is that there is a reason to live your life. And that's the truth. If Jesus is the truth, what is he? He's love. God is love. So the question today is this, is what are you living for? If Jesus said, I'm here because I love you, even though you hate me. And you think about it, we're getting ready to go in this series, and next week we're going to start talking about sex and dating and guys and girls and the whole spiel. You know, we're going to start talking about, you know, romance and all that kind of jazz and stuff. It'll be actually pretty good. But I guess even to start off with today is kind of as a foundation. Well, what is love? I mean, if Jesus says my cause here is to share the love of who God is, what is love? You know, because people have a lot of different ideas of what love is, you know, and the truth of the matter is love really is not what it's sold as. You know, love is sold as this mushy gushy thing that you see on TV shows, and it's this thing that gets this word gets thrown around here and there, and you know, it's like, you know, and people say things like, oh well, I just had to let go because I fell out of love with them, you know, and that's like, it's true. It's like, I love you, but I don't love you, you know. It's like, you know, I love macaroni and cheese, and I love my puppy dog, you know, but, you know, and this word love, it's so cheap. But the truth is, you know, and what I learned, what I see that love truly is, it's personal self-sacrifice. You know, if you've been to this church for any amount of time, you've probably heard this before, but it's okay because you need to hear it again. Love is personal self-sacrifice. It's giving of yourself for the betterment of somebody else. It's probably the best way, the best definition of love I've ever heard. And I think it's a godly kind of love. I think it's the ultimate kind of love. Now, let's put it this way. Okay, sometimes you can identify something by telling what it's not, right? You know what I'm saying? That's what it is. Sometimes you can do the opposite. That's like a thing, you know, like educationally. And let's say this. Let's say this. What would you say the opposite of love is? Hate, right? And everybody I've ever asked, that's what they say. Just about everybody, they say the opposite of love is hate. You know, it's a love-hate relationship. Well, here's what I've seen. Now, I'm not saying you're wrong, but here's what I've seen. Because if I look at what love is, and if I look at what the Bible says love is, the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is selfishness. Think about it. If love is personal self-sacrifice, if love is giving of yourself, right? That's what you mean. If you're in a relationship and some guy says, I love you, that's what you would want. I mean, you know, you would want him, to lay down your life for you, right? Like, you know, that's what you want. You know, will he take a bullet for you? That's what you want to know. And that's what the opposite of love would be, selfishness. See, if love is about the other person, and selfishness is all about me. What can I get? You know, the saying's been said this, and I'm going to say it a million more times. It's a lot of people say, well, relationship is give and take. Give and take, give and take, give and take. You got to give and take. But I think that's the exact opposite of what love is supposed to be. I don't think love is ever supposed to be give and take. I think love is supposed to be give and give. I think the second anybody starts taking, you become a thief, right? If I take something, I'm stealing from you. I'm taking it from you. And any relationship, any type of love relationship, whether it's a friendship, whether it's, you know, whether it's your best friend, whether it's your girlfriend, whether it's your boyfriend, whether it's your mom, your dad, a love relationship should be give. There should be no taking involved. It should just be giving. And that's what love is. Now, let's go on and take a look at this, because see, if Jesus says that, you know, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, if he says I've come so people can hear the truth is God loves us, well, that means then God's calling us to live a cause. Because you see, when Jesus died on the cross, he wasn't done with everything he wanted to do. Think about it. Jesus left this place unfinished. Now, I know he said it's finished at the end. You know, I know I read my Bible before. But it's not done yet, because God gave us his job to finish, right? That's why the church, that's why the book didn't end at like, you know, he rose on the third day, boop, the end of the book. That's it. That's all the Bible, you know. There's more. There's like a bunch of more parts of the Bible after Jesus died and rose again. And that's our job to do. You know, Jesus died, rose again, and left us the rest of his job. Wait, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then what does he say about Jesus? No, wait. You're the light of the world. I am the light of the world, but I'm in you, so now you're the light of the world. So now you have my job. Our job is to finish just what Jesus did. And what was his cause? Jesus right here in Luke 18, he said, I'm here. The cause I was born is so people can hear the truth. So people can hear my voice, the voice of love crying and calling out to them. That's what I'm here for. That's what you're here for. You're here to not be selfish and to put other people first and love them. Matter of fact, Jesus said that's the only way people are going to know you're Christians is by how much you love people. See, the depth of how much you love God is proven by how much you love other people. If you tell me you love God and you're worshiping, you're like, shout to the Lord all the earth, let us sing. You know? And then you're out and you're like clowning on people and like being mean and a rascal, you know? I mean, look, then every word you said is just, it's just a show. The depth of your worship in church is proven by the depth of your love for other people outside these walls. That's how I know how strong of a Christian you are. And that's how strong you can know a Christian I am, is by the level that I love people. It's a reflection of how much I truly love God. Because if I love God, then I'll love others. You see, love never quits. And you aren't saved so you can go to heaven. I mean, you are. That's like, cool. You're like, Jesus died so you can go to heaven. You know, that's like the point, you know. But that's not it. See, you're not saved just to be saved. You're saved to save other people. That's the reason. Because if you were just saved to be saved, all of a sudden you would like raise your hand, you'd pray the prayer, and all of a sudden you'd like, boom, die. That's what it'd be. You get saved and boom, oh, and then you go to heaven. That's what it'd be. Like, bam, like just like that. That's what it'd be. But the point of you getting saved is not just so you can go to heaven. That's just like the icing on the cake. The cake, the meat of it, the part of it is for you now to live your life for other people and to be an example of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we'd baptize people right over the surface and just hold you under the entire time until you stop wiggling. And that would be it. That'd be the grossest baptismal in the entire world out there. And it'd need to be a lot bigger with like a trash can next to it. Just next. And that's what it'd be. But that's, and then we'd probably get arrested, you know. But see, the whole point is you get saved so you can go out and you can do something more than just raise your hands in church. You're saved to save others. You are rescued to be a rescuer of the people around us. Because I don't know if you've noticed, but things are kind of jacked up out there. Your neighborhood, yeah, it's messed up. I don't care which neighborhood you live in. I don't care how nice the lawns are trimmed around your block. You know, I don't care if they have really expensive dogs, okay, and they have dog sitters with dog hotels down the street. I don't care. You know, the point is, no matter how much or how little money, no matter how rough or how nice the neighborhood is you live in, that neighborhood is jacked up because they don't have Jesus inside of them, because they're missing something. Because I've heard the stories from people who have it all, people who have nothing, and they all end up the same. Missing something until they find who God is, until they find that place that Jesus has inside of them. You see, love refuses to quit. Romans 5:8, Bible says this. You guys never heard this verse, you need to hear it. And if you've heard it and you haven't underlined it in your Bible, you got to underline it because it's a pretty good one. The Bible says this. Jesus says, this is about Jesus. It says Romans 5:8. The Bible says right here. It says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrates his own love towards us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, this is how you know that true love is not is giving of yourself. It's not selfish. Why? Because what the Bible says right here is God's real love, the love that God described, is this, is that he died for me and you. He went to the cross. See, Jesus wasn't murdered. Jesus was not murdered. The Romans, the Jews, you know, whatever the story is that maybe you heard. No, Jesus was not murdered. Jesus died on his own accord. Jesus gave his life. It was not taken from him. Jesus willfully died for me and you. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't because he didn't have a good lawyer, okay? It's because he wanted, he needed, he desired to die for me and you. It says, God demonstrated his own love this way, that while we were still yet sinners. Think about that. How many of you would go into a dating relationship with somebody knowing they would cheat on you? What? It happens, right? I mean, look, if you're going to date a guy that cute, you just know he just can't keep it to himself, okay? I mean, that's just selfish of you, right? I mean, guys, look, she's a number 10 and you're like a number 5, okay? Let's be real here. How is she going to, you know? Well, that doesn't seem plausible. That doesn't seem plausible to you. It doesn't seem. I'm sorry if I'm bringing up. I don't mean to bring up any like bad, you know, memories or anything like that. But seriously, like nobody would. Nobody would do that. That's the dumbest thing in the entire world, to date somebody knowing that they're going to cheat on you. But let's wait a minute. Now wait a minute. Let's pull it back real quick and let's take a look at this verse again. Let's take a look at this verse again. But God demonstrated his own love towards us that while we were still cheating on him, he died for us. God demonstrated his own love that while we were turning our back on him, he still vouched for us. God loved us and demonstrated his own love that while he knew one day we would curse him and turn away from him, he still died for us. You see, God entered this relationship between you and me and all of us in this room knowing that we're going to mess up on him. But the Bible says that he still loved us. Think about this. If love is about the other person, if love is about personal self-sacrifice, God had nothing to gain from you. Think about it. He's like God. He can do whatever he wants. He like doesn't really need you. I mean, to be real. I mean, I know I'm pretty fantastic. I know I'm amazing, all right? I know I have some major skills when it comes to like sleeping in and stuff like that. I know my selection of socks, you know, is really keen. But God really doesn't gain anything from me because I'm dust. I'm 5 foot nothing and I'm nothing, you know, but God said, you know what? Look, I'm willing to die for me, for Pastor Richard, for this little Mexican kid that came from San Bernardino. I'm willing to die for him. Even though it profits me nothing because I love him and I'm willing to give myself for him. God's not any better because of me. I'm better because of him. And it almost feels like it's a one-sided relationship. I mean, I could give him everything I have. Imagine that. You could even die for God. But you're only giving him something he first gave you. I have nothing new to give God except what he first gave me. But he still died and gave me what I could never give him, his life. They're not equal. I know we're going kind of deep here today, guys, but the Bible says let God demonstrate his own love. See, I'm saved to show other people how amazing God is and how I can live for them. Look, I'm saved to save others. Because if he did that, then there's no reason. See, love overcomes every objection. Because God could have said it's not worth it. God could have said it's too expensive. God could have said it's too difficult. Jesus could have said it's too painful. It's too humiliating. It's too, you know, Jesus could have said, look, not enough people are going to go to heaven then. And it's not even worth it, you know. Where's my return here? I'm not getting enough from this blood that I'm shedding. But every objection was shut down because his love refused to quit. It refused to back down on us. He could, you know, look, you know, Jesus said there's no excuse. There's no objection for me not to die for them. Now let's flip the page. What excuse do you have not to love other people? What reason would you have to quit on somebody else? See, love refuses to quit. I love this story and I have to tell it to myself every once in a while. Maybe you've heard it before, but there's a story about a little kid named Will back in the 1800s, back in 1829. He was born, little Will. He was born in the ghetto of England. And it was a really difficult time that time, right around the Industrial Revolution, all that kind of jazz. And it was really difficult place. And his parents were poor. They didn't go to church. He had a family, sisters and things like that. And at the age of 14, his dad died. His dad passed away. So little Will had to go out and get a job at the age of 14 to supply for his mom and family. Well, within the next year, he was invited to church. And there his life changed. Matter of fact, his life was so changed that within the next couple of years, him and his friend, their idea of fun was going out and feeding the poor. Instead of going to a party, instead of, you know, like going out and you know, earning money so they could buy a brand new video game or whatever was really cool back in the 1800s. I don't know. a wooden horse or something, I don't know. He decided what was really fun, what we should do for fun is we should go out and we should preach to the poor and give them food and help people. So him and his friends would have parties of helping people. And eventually, he began to do so much of this that his name began to get around and he began to establish an organization. And by the time he died, at his funeral, there was 40,000 people crammed into a building. 40,000 people, including the Queen of England. And when they had his wake, you know, when his coffin was there, 150,000 people walked by that coffin just to look at his face and say, is this the man who changed England? Is this the man who began to change the world? Because little Will became William Booth, the man who started the Salvation Army. Salvation Army was started in 1829 when a little boy named Bill, little Willie, was born. And Will grew up to become William Booth, the man who changed the world. Even today, I mean, it's a little bit different now, but he started it in England. And it all started because one little boy, one 14-year-old boy was invited to church and his life was changed. And because he got an idea that God loved me so much, so how dare I not love other people at least a fraction of how God loved me? Because if God decided I was valuable enough to die for, then why would I see my neighbor, my enemy, my friends, my family, why would they not be valuable enough for me to die for? It changed his entire life. We begin to live according to love. In Isaiah 6, it's a really difficult chapter to read sometimes, not because it's kind of crazy, because it is kind of a crazy chapter, but because of what happens here and the response that Isaiah says. Isaiah, he has this vision and he begins to see these things and he hears God's voice and these angels and all this crazy stuff begins to happen. And Isaiah's eyes are open to see these things and his ears begin to hear God speaking. In Isaiah 6 verse 8, you know, he hears God speaking. In 6:8, he says this. He says, I heard the voice of the Lord. In Isaiah 6:8, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? You see, God had a plan. He had a cause and he had a thing that needed to get done, and he's looking for somebody. God is looking for a somebody to do something. So all of a sudden, Isaiah, this man, hears his voice. And then I said, Isaiah says, and then I said, here I am, send me. And God said in verse 9, go and tell these people. See, God is looking for somebody to do something for someone. And I don't know about you, but I think there's a lot of somebodies in this room. And if you were to think hard enough, if when you leave this place, there's someone you know that needs something. And it's not until I get that something, that someone isn't going to be whole. But they can't do it on their own. They need somebody. They need somebody to do that something. God said, I need somebody. Who am I going to send? I need somebody. Anybody will do. Who is it? Now, you know someone that I don't know. Someone will listen to you that won't listen to me, and they won't listen to the person next to you, but they'll listen to you. So will you be their somebody? You see, William Booth had somebody come up to him and say, hey, do you want to go to church? And because somebody spoke to a someone named William Booth, millions of someones were given something. Clothing, food, hope, shelter, something. So the question today is, who's your someone? Because I believe that you're somebody. And I believe you're the somebody God's talking to right now. And if you think hard enough, you can find out who what the something is and who the somebody is that you're supposed to help out. See, you know, I've told my story a lot. I've told it numerous times. But 16 years ago, I was invited to church. After I had a nervous, I literally had a mental breakdown. And the first time I walked into this youth ministry, Pastor Eddie, my old youth pastor, told me something nobody else had told me before, that I had a purpose. He gave me something that I needed. And it stopped me from being a crazy, messed up kid. I had somebody's in my life. Giving me the things that I need, the hope and the restoration and everything that comes with that. So the question today is, when you leave this place, who is it? Who is your someone? What's the something? What do you have? And what do you have that can help somebody? Even if it's just a smile, if it's just encouragement. Look, sometimes people, all people need to know is that they're okay, and they're not as jacked up as they think they are. You know, shut it down right now. You know, the Bible says that. How is somebody going to hear if nobody tells them? It says that in Romans. How is somebody going to hear if nobody tells them? They'll never hear it. Somebody's got to tell them. It says here right before that, it says, if nobody sends them, how are they going to tell them? Well, today I'm sending you. Today God's saying, I need somebody to say something, and I'm waiting for somebody to respond. So I need to send you. Who's gonna pony up? Who's gonna raise their hand? Who's gonna walk to the front of the class and give the answer? Now I know it's summertime. I know a lot of the people that you know you're not gonna be around for another few months, but there's plenty of opportunity, whether it's here at this church or in your neighborhood, because you don't have to look very far to find somebody who's having a hard time. On your summer teams, it's on your, it's in the shopping malls, it's down your neighborhood. Look, it's on the side of the road. It's somebody somewhere. Because if you look, you'll find somebody who needs something. Give it to them. Pray for the friend that you're hanging out this week and having a really hard time. Parents going through a divorce. For the friend that just broke up with its girlfriend, boyfriend. Find them. Because God's looking and God's waiting for you to be that somebody to someone. You got to do it. Because love is not about me and what I can get. It's about what you can give. And that's what real love is. So if you find yourself selfish, ladies, if you find a boyfriend and he's taking from you and he's selfish, then I'm going to tell you this right now. He don't love you. Gentlemen, look, if you have a girlfriend and she's taking and she's being selfish, look, I'm going to tell you that she don't love you, or she's not loving you. You've got to redefine what these words mean. If you love God, then maybe it's time we stop asking God, do this for me and do this for me. And we need to start saying, God, what do you need me to do for you? Maybe our prayer should change from, God, can you please bless me? But no, God, how can I bless you? Because that's love. Personal self-sacrifice. Hey, have you guys got something out of God tonight? Let's give him a praise. Man.